This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
We're gathered, I guess, figuratively in the for first yard site of Ramatis Zichrona Livracha. I personally have tremendous hakaras hatoiv to Ramatisio. He undertook to take different recordings and a lot of things, and he put his heart and soul into structuring, organizing everything. Any toilas that anyone has from the shiurim that are online is due to a great part to him. He did it with tremendous mitzvahs nefesh, tremendous care, and it's really overwhelming to think how much I personally owe him. And if people have had any toilas, any benefit from the shiurim, then he gets a large part of the credit. So we'll say a few words about him. I think important to delineate some of his unique qualities, and he was a unique person. The qualities that he had were rare and unusual, and maybe we'll be able to learn from it. And if we're zeicha to sort of take some of the things, some of those extraordinary qualities that he left for us, and make them our qualities, it'll be a tremendous healing neshama. Somebody who is nifta, unfortunately, with meyomav young, and cut off in the middle of tremendous avodas hakodesh that he's doing at Mechon Yaakov and with other people and so on. Let's start with the parasha. Very befittingly, it says that vayuchai yisar meyashana. So the pasuk lists, enumerates the years of Sarah as being 127. Rashi explains that the reason why we have this enumeration, he says, the reason why you have the year listed, you can darshan each one by itself. Each one stands in its own right. At 100, she was like a 20-year-old when it came to Averis. The din is that Shemayim punishes a person only from the age of 20 onwards. So just as at 20, a person is not of, he can't be punished within Shemayim. So meaning that they're not averis. So to at 100, they're not averis. And when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old when it comes to beauty. That already is much more enigmatic. Even the first one is strange. Let's first start with the second one, Baskov Kibasayan. Our understanding of beauty is 20-year-old is when a person is usually at their height. That's when a person is fully developed, and one expects that's the age when a person is at his best, most attractive. So what does it mean, Baskov Kibasayan Yoifi? The second half, bas kuf ki bas chof lechet, also begs a question, because you're telling me as innocent as a babe, basically that's what you're saying. So it could have been bas kuf ki bas zayin. A 7-year-old sure doesn't have chet. Why pick the age of 20, which is just at the cusp? We're trying to describe someone as innocent. We would use colloquially as innocent as a newborn babe. In other words, it can't be more innocent than that. So, Baskufke Basayan, Baskufke, it says on Shlomo Melech that he was Ben Shana Hoya, was a year old when he started his reign. Chazal say he was as clear of sin as a one-year-old. So why look for that age where 20, where you just are about to get into the world of Averis? Those are 2 points I'd like to ponder in the beginning of the parasha. So let's start with the second one of the Bas Chofke Basai and the Yoifi. Some Mefarshim learn that, and it seems to be it seems to be the pshat like that. There are different ages of beauty in a person. The beauty of Bas Chof carries in itself a need to present oneself. When somebody is Bas Chof, when somebody is at 20, it's the age when they are most, they're attractive, but they need to present themselves. They need to groom themselves. They need to dress up. They need to present themselves. And it's done as a conscious act of presentation. That's the beauty of a person who's reached maturity. Some Sfarim write about the fact that it's an age when the beauty is there to entice someone. But be it as it may, the point is it's a beauty where I'm conscious, extraordinarily conscious, of presenting myself to the other. A child has a chain to himself or herself that is, he's not conscious of it. He's natural, and it is there because he is himself. One of the things that attracts us to the personality of a young child is they're very natural. There's no pretense. There's no need to present. They are who they are. And that's why a young child has a certain chain that comes with it, because he is as natural and as unself-conscious, unself-aware as can be. I'd like to use that as the first point about Reb Matisyahu. Reb Matisyahu's personality, when we look for kirv personalities, so to speak, people that can reach out and help other people recognize the beauty of Yadus and so on, there's a natural inclination to look for those people who present well, for those people who project well. You usually tend to get somebody with an amazing personality who is extremely good at presenting and themselves and everything in the best light possible. And it's somewhere along the line also in a certain sense, affirming the person that's speaking to, validating him, and so on. That's kind of the typical personality you expect, and it makes a lot of sense. Hard to say that any of those qualities were Reb Matisyahu's qualities, but his qualities were that he was unabashedly himself, unabashedly true, and minced no words in describing the truth as he saw it, whether it was relevant to himself, relevant to other people, relevant to any issue. And it had a tremendous attraction because people felt its emes. Even his wit, besides the fact that he was very, very smart and his wit was very, very sharp, but it expressed a cutting to the bone, a cutting to the emes, and that has a special chayin to itself. I want to read a Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara speaks of Reb Zeira. Ki samchu rabban Reb Zeira. When the Chachamim gave Reb Zeira smicha, in other words, they ordained him as a Rav, shor lehachi, they would sing for him like this. He does not have any makeup on. These are different forms of makeup. and he is totally full of chen, of charm. The endowing somebody with smicha, so the feinayim, or peschanayim, sorry, says that the reason why this was appropriate for Abzera was Reb Zera was a very humble person. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that he tried to hide when they wanted to give him smicha. He didn't feel worthy of it. And therefore, when they gave him smicha, when they ordained him, they sang, so to speak, they said the following poetry about him, that he has none of the none of the adornments that one expects, and yet he is full of chen. I would go a step further in explaining the Gemara and say the following, that the Gemara doesn't mean despite the fact, but they actually realize that it was due to the fact, because he did not in any way pretend, because there was nothing artificial about the way in which he presented himself, he was therefore Yalas Chen. It says about Torah is called Yalas Chen, because Torah, when it's presented as is, has the beauty built into it. So it's almost a vicious cycle. If a person does not give Torah the way it is, if a person adds and sort of pads the Torah, then he has to make a great effort at adding beauty to it, at touching it up. If the person is presenting it the way it is, living it the way it is and presenting the way it is, then it's Yalas Chen, it has a Chen of its own. It goes a lot to the difference of Yofi and Chen. Yofi is beauty in a way that can be somewhat quantified. It can be described. Why do we call this beautiful? It's tall, it's short, it's light colored, it's dark colored, it's this, it's that. We can describe elements that are beautiful. Symmetry has a certain beauty, but and so on. Chen is a type of attraction that defies any description. This person has a lot of charisma. We can't go further than that, usually. He has charisma. What does that mean? I don't know. He has charisma. People are attracted to him. But we don't have an easy way of explaining in any way what that is. So the Yalas Chen over here means that despite the fact, so a person who dresses up, a person who needs to show off or in any way present himself, he could have Yofi, but he won't have Chen. Reb Zera is someone who had no artifice, and therefore he was Yalas Chen. Even the word Zera means small, diminutive. It's modesty. So now Reb Zera is that embodiment. I want to move on to a next piece of Gemara, which also speaks about something Reb Zera said, and I want to learn, glean a lesson from it as well. It says a story that Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak used to dance at weddings with hadassim, used to juggle them. Reb Zera felt it was inappropriate, felt he shouldn't do that. And Reb Zera called him out on it. When Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak died, a fiery hadass branch appeared on top of his coffin. And Reb Zera said, I see that he was right, but it doesn't quite say it that way. And now we'll read the way it says it. Omer Reb Zera, Hanele Shutisi L'Saba. So one pshat is his branch did him well. In other words, he conceded the point. For Amrele Shtusi Lesaba. And Sam said, so does Shitase? And Sam said, Shtusi. Shitase means his Shita was right. In other words, I was wrong, he was right. Shtusi means his foolishness. Now, let's understand a little bit what that means. In other words, in Shemayim, they showed him that Reb Shmuel Yitzchak had meant well, had done well, and they complimented him. But Reb Zira's opinion was that it was wrong, it was a shtus. So basically, he didn't retreat from his initial position. He just said that he may have done right, but a spade is still a spade. It's still a shtus. So the Reb Zera's midas ha'emes, Reb Zera's need to be true, meant that he even if at the end of the day the other person was right for other reasons, but we need to be very clear that he's right because he did it for Chasan Kala, he did it for Sameach, he meant L'Shem Shemayim. There are reasons why in Shemayim they thought him worthy, but it does not take away from the fact that the act itself was a demeaning act and it should not be done. The strength of, so here we have Reb Zera, who on the one hand is humble. Reb Zera is ready to admit that he was wrong in the way he described that the person wasn't doing right, but he wasn't wrong on the principle itself. And the ability to be able to say I'm wrong in one sense and still hold on to the principles which didn't have to change, that was something that was Reb Zera's strength. So Reb Zera is an embodiment of someone who is modest himself. His Torah comes as is, and it carries with himself a special chain of a person who is as genuine as can be, and the Torah that he's teaching and the Torah that he is preaching is self, nothing more, nothing less. And that person, a person who has that type, a person whose emes to the core, even when he's shown that for other reasons he may not have been right, doesn't retreat from the truth he knows to be true. He's able to put it into perspective and say, yes, Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda was because of his Sameach Chasan Mekala, by doing this, he gets a compliment for that, but the act remains wrong. These are qualities that speak of the midas, the yofi that is special to a bas zayin, which when transferred to bas chof, it says a lot more. That even when Sarah was bas chof, she did not add makeup to her beauty. She did not add things to present herself, to make herself find favor in other people's eyes. She presented herself as she was. We have Gemara before speaks about appropriate ways in which to be meshabech a kala when you're dancing in front of a kala. So the question is, how shall we describe her in a way that is a compliment to her? It's her chasna, and we need to make her happy. And the way to do it is by saying nice things about her. It was very customary in the old days, and still have it some places today. By chassidim bat chanim, they say nice gramen about the person. So the Gemara here deals with telling the truth, stretching the truth, and so on. So the Shammai says, Kate, so the Gemara says, turn around, Kate, Miraculous, that Kala. How does a person dance in front of Kala? Meaning, what's the type of song that we should say for a Kala that is appropriate? So Beis Shammai says, Kala Kuma Shehi. A Kala, we should say, we should compliment whatever there is. And therefore, Taisa says, it means speak about her strong points and disregard her weak points. Beis Hillel says, no, you say Kala Nova Hasuda, you say a generic type of praise, and you don't want to embarrass anyone, and therefore you'll just say something very, very nice about her, and the Gemara deals with stretching the truth, etc. So the simple meaning of this is, Kala Kamashi also says, it means they should only praise her with her good qualities. I would like to offer another pasul pshat. Kala Kamashi he means, in Beis Shammai's world, Beis Shammai was extremely strict and was sticklers for details, and everything should be exact. Exactitude was the hallmark of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's biggest praise is that you present yourself as you are. Kala kemois shehi. She is who she is. Beis Hillel had a different perspective from a different midah. But when a person has faults, and every person has a fault, and we try to put makeup on it, to put a patch on the fault, that itself, in the eyes of Beit Shammai, takes away. Because at the end of the day, it's artificial. It's sort of pretending to be something you're not. Kala Kumeshi Beit Shammai says, a kala, when you can say about someone, she is as she is, she presents herself as she is, that's the greatest shevach you can say about it. And that sort of is segues to the Gemara about Reb Zeira, and Reb Zeira being someone who is who was lokal losak lopikus v'yalas chen. That's one of the two points of the bas kaf kibasayin as regards the beauty. I'd like to speak in the bas kaf kibas chaf, the second part of the equation. And our problem was that we, if you want to say that somebody is righteous, someone's a tzaddik, and they have no sins, then a newborn babe would be much better. Or stick to a seven-year-old, so we can say bas kuf ki basayin. Why do we pick bas chaf that's on the borderline, just about to commit their first aver, so to speak? Why is that picked as the paradigm for tzidkis, for being free of averus? So I think it goes, let's take another chazal. The Gemara says that the world stands on the hevel piyam shel tinokesh beis rabba, the breath, or literally the vapor of the Torah that little children learn in Cheder. So the Gemara asked Abayas, I think it was a Bayan Rabbi maybe, or he asked, well, what about us and our Torah? So he said, in a Doima, with Chet or without Chet, they are absolutely without a blemish, they have no Avera, and therefore it's very pure and it holds up the world, whereas we all do Averas, and it's not as pure. So that's wonderful. Children's Torah is pure and innocent and without Avera. But there's something about the language of the Gemara. The Gemara calls it Hevel Pihem. The word Hevel refers to something that has no existence. Like in Koheles, the word that appears most frequently is Hevel. Havel Havolim or Makrahelas. Hevel means something that is ephemeral to the extreme. It's like when you breathe on a window and a little cloud forms and the window is, the cloud comes and goes. It really, Hevel is sort of the vapor of a person. It's not really it has no substance to it. So why is that called Hevel Pirshei Malchus? So sin is a terrible thing, and a person who is free of sin is wonderful. But there's a big difference between a person who is free of sin because he has it in him to do averis. His body knows what it is to crave something. His soul knows what it is to want something. And the person doesn't. Two, someone who has no sense of craving, someone who doesn't understand it, and he's innocent because he has no sense of it. It's fine and it's good that the person is innocent, but it does not really nothing comes out of that we can say is strong, lasting, or whatever. Something that is done with a childlike naivete and innocence has really no substance to it. And you see it. People who are bright, intelligent, struggle and do what's right, there's a sense that something substantial has been presented. People who are just childlessly naive, are clueless, it's nice, it's wonderful that these people are sweet and innocent, but one doesn't see anything of great substance in that. Matisseau was brilliant, knowledgeable, and the furthest from being naive, he understood, he knew, he understood the issues, the questions, the problems, the entire struggle, the entire intellectual struggle of knowing what's right and what's good and so on, never shied away from it and lived it. And yet his emunah was strong, his commitment to it was strong, and it never wavered in doing what's right. That's an incredible combination. He was naturally a cynical person, sharp. He had all of the faculties that would make a person push back, rebel, disagree, anything. And he was firmly committed because he was there with the emes. Bas kuf ki bas chof means, if we were to say that at 100 she was as innocent and as a very free as a 7-year-old, then we would say yes, she was a grown-up child. There was nothing there. Bas chof is the cusp. It's the age when a person has all of the ingredients to sin. That's when sin starts. But that moment, that line is when a person is at his most developed, most mature. And if a person is at tzaddik at that point, that's real tzidkus. I think these two points are the points that stand out about Reb Matisyahu Zichrono Livracha. He was an extraordinary person in his brilliance, in his sharpness, in his ability to grasp something and see through it quickly, in his standard of what he expected in terms of emes. He had every faculty that could have provoked him not to accept. And yet he felt that despite this, that, or the other thing, the emes is undeniable. And emes it is. That's bas kuf ki bas chaf. And the people who came into, the people who interacted with him, were extremely taken by that. First of all, they realized that what he believed and what he stood for had nothing to do with innocence, with looking aside, with naivete. It had to do rather with the deepest of convictions that despite questions, issues, nonsense, the emes is the emes. And his personality radiated a chain of its own, unassuming, self-deprecating to the ultimate, not cowered by anything, anyone, just his emes and himself and his natural self. That was the bas chof kibasayan. His charm was the charm of a person who's natural, unpretentious, unrehearsed, and he always is himself. We weren't zeicher that he should live 127 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to take him when he chose to take him. But he did have the bas, he had the qualities in his life of the yofi of a bas sheva, and the tzidkis of a bas chaf, a tzidkis of someone with all the faculties and yet doing what's right and what's yasher. I personally feel I don't think I did a fraction of what I should have done for him, whatever could have been done in any way. I owe him a debt of gratitude, incredible debt of gratitude. But at least if we have an image in front of us, a paradigm of someone that embodies both qualities, Be'ez Hashem, each of us should take something of that with himself or herself, and let that be the final schus that it leaves us, is the schus of having a paradigm of someone that when you're emes and pure emes, then no questions faze you, no obstacle stands in your way, and people appreciate it, and people look for the emes, and when the emes comes unvarnished and unadorned, it's sometimes a lot more powerful. It's loikhal and loisrak and loipirkus, but it's kula yalaschein. Yizichar Baruch.